He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. The first few words and verses from our text this morning from the Gospel according to St. Luke. On the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, I know that's the middle of a sentence, but we're going to stop right there. From those few opening words and verses of Luke's gospel, we get an idea and a glimpse of what the women expected when they came to the tomb that Easter morning. The women came to the tomb expecting to find it sealed up with a three-day dead body inside of it. The women came to the tomb that first Easter morning expecting to find soldiers stationed outside guarding the tomb of Christ. The women came to the tomb that first Easter morning expecting that they would need someone's help to roll that stone away so that they could enter in. We know that they expected all of these things because they came with spices to prepare a body, a dead one. They did not come bringing spices because they anticipated offering them in some sort of sacrifice of joy and thanksgiving. They came expecting that Jesus' body would still be there where it had been laid. They come to the tomb expecting that it will look just like it had when Jesus was laid into it. But that's not what they find. They do not find that. Their expectations are not met when they arrive at the tomb Easter morning. And Luke tells us that they are perplexed by this. How can this be? How can everything that they expected to find not be there? No stone in front, no body inside, no guards. What is going on this Easter morning? And then in the midst of their being perplexed at all these things that they've seen, suddenly we are told two men, angels, appear to them in dazzling apparel, something they certainly did not expect. And now, what had been confusion is now frightening to them. What in the world is going on? This unexpected Easter morning for these women has brought confusion, perplexed emotions, and fear. All the things that I imagine you did not come to church this Easter Sunday to experience. But it brings up a good question as these women arrive at the tomb. As they are perplexed and fearful, why would it be that way for them? In fact, the angels posed that very question to the women. Didn't Jesus tell you? They say to them. Why would you come here expecting to find his body behind a sealed door? I think part of the answer is something that we, each and every one of us, can probably relate to. It is because the women are overwhelmed by death. They have gone through so much that Holy Week, along with the other disciples, that it has had to be truly overwhelming for them. The emotional toll of Maundy Thursday, the arrest in the garden, the trial, the beating, the crucifixion, his death on Good Friday. They have seen it. They watched him on the cross exhale his last breath, commending his spirit to his father. They watched and saw the body dead, taken off of the cross, laid into the tomb. All of the things that took place during the crucifixion on top of it, the earthquake, the darkness, the tombs being opened and dead rising to life, the temple curtain torn in half. It has been an emotional toll on those who were there for the crucifixion of Christ. And having had to wait now, they have gone to the tomb as soon as they could to prepare the body. And what an emotionally draining task that in and of itself must have been. Going there, expecting to confront that finality of death there at Christ's tomb. After everything that they had gone through, after everything that they had seen, this would be like ripping the Band-Aid off of a fresh wound. Before they even get to that tomb on Easter morning, they are probably already overcome and exhausted by a range of emotions. And so getting to that tomb and seeing what they see, the unexpected in their mind, that there is no body, it only makes it worse. There is no one there. And if we go back to John's gospel, we can almost hear the exhaustion and the confusion and the pleading in Mary's voice as she talks to who she thinks is the gardener and begs him, just please tell me what they have done with the body. Because at least in some small way, there is some finality, some closure perhaps, to having that tomb be as they expected. You and I can relate, as I said. We too experience death. Our loved ones, our friends, our family, as the saying goes, other than taxes, it's the only thing in life that's certain. Sometimes that death happens in a very expected way after a long illness where we saw it coming, and sometimes that death comes suddenly in a most unexpected way into our lives. But those same emotions are all there. The emotions of losing a loved one, the grief, the fear, the anger, maybe even the relief sometimes, and the sadness that comes with experiencing that loss. And before we can process all of those emotions, the same sorts of things take place. We have so much that overwhelms us and occupies our time immediately following. There is the preparing for the funeral. There is choosing hymns, choosing a casket, meeting with the funeral director, meeting with the pastor, going through the service, going to the graveside for the committal. During all of this, there's hardly time, like the women, to even catch your breath. But then, when the loved ones have traveled back home, when the funeral casseroles have all been eaten, and things have calmed down a little bit, you can begin to process and deal with those emotions. After the rush ends, you have the opportunity to go back and perhaps get some closure as you visit that fresh grave. Just you, maybe. And there, that finality of death stares you in the face. And at least somewhere in the back of your mind, you are comforted by the fact that you can come to this place for some kind of closure to this quiet, empty graveyard with a cold headstone. But those things don't truly give any comfort. Those things don't truly give any closure. Even though their being there, our expectation of them, perhaps helps a little bit. But this is where we find the women at today. Except they don't even have that little piece of it to hold on to help heal everything that has happened, because there is an empty tomb. Their grief, their perplexion, their fear is only compounded because things are not as they think they should be. The darkness that they left in the morning, even though it has grown light, probably only seems darker as they stand there. The doubts and the fears that they had probably only loom all the larger as they confusedly wonder, why are things not what we expected? But staring into that empty tomb, fearful, afraid, confused, in the midst of grief, the women hear a most glorious word from those two men in dazzling apparel. What they hear from those two men is that death is not triumphant that Easter morning. That death does not have the final word in this life. What they hear is that death has been defeated. And what they expected to find was not what they should have expected at all. Remember how he told you all these things would happen. The angels say to them, he is not here, he is risen. The grave, death, the power of sin and the devil there at that empty tomb have all been conquered and triumphed over by Christ Jesus. And suddenly, in the midst of all of those emotions and expectations and fears, all of those things are driven away by that word of hope and joy spoken to them. Luke tells us they remember his words. And there at the empty tomb, the glory of Easter hits them full force, and it drives all else away. The fear, the doubt, and the uncertainty, they are gone. This is what Jesus told them. Through his death and his resurrection, he would defeat the undefeatable. Through his sacrifice on the cross, he would replace fear and doubt with hope and with joy. And there on Easter morning, he does. As the women stare at the empty tomb and hear the angel's words, God's word to them, the joy of Easter fills them. We hear those words this morning along with those women. Because that headstone, that grave where your loved one lies, will one day not be what you expect either. Those graves where my loved ones have been laid to rest, family members, friends, I can visit them now, but I do not expect that they will stay that way forever. Because of Jesus' empty tomb and because of his promise to you and to me and to all who have died in the faith, I expect by faith, you expect by faith, that one day, like the women, we will find the tombs empty. The Lord himself will raise them from the dead, and the last enemy to be destroyed, death, will be conquered. As our text says, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This is the promise of Christ Jesus to each and every one of you. In your baptism, this is exactly what took place and what was promised and given to you. You were united with Christ Jesus into his death at that baptismal font so that you might have the certainty of a resurrection like his. you were united into a death like his, so that you might be certain that one day not only your loved one's tomb, but your very own tomb will be open and empty. Body and soul, you will be reunited for all eternity to live in the presence of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This world, Satan, perhaps your own sinful flesh, tries to convince you that the graveyard is the expectation and the end of all things. But it is not. Jesus' word this morning, his promise fulfilled, points you back to his own empty tomb and assures you that he has conquered death. And because he lives, you will live also. He is not here. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. We stand and we join together in prayer this morning.